that I've earned from my net or my gross paycheck.
If I tithe 15%, will you help me find a wife?
I'm sure my husband gave some last week.
I'll tithe next week.
Jay, I'm wondering how much money the church is wasting on these little envelopes.
You can have it, but I want you to know I'm not happy about it.
I make all those cookies for kids longer. God's really not going to miss any money.
Who really cares if I tithe for my bonus?
Once my taxes are all paid.
After my credit cards.
Once my car's paid off. Once my loans are paid off, then I'll tithe.
I'll start giving again.
Then I can tithe.
Then I'll tithe.
I have so little to give.
Game starts at 1:15 and we leave church by 12:30. We can grab lunch and have 15 minutes.
I love you, God.
I love you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank
I love you, God.
Love you, God.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
I love you, God.
I love you.
Did it catch any of your thoughts there? I know what you're thinking. So I know them envelopes are expensive. That's why when you get a box of envelope, it says put that first dollar in there to cover that, or 50 cent, whatever it is. But it's amazing what goes on when we think about giving to the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something. You can't outgive God. There's no way that can be done. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. It's been a tremendous week. I know Billy was telling me that her cousin had surgery, brain surgery on Friday, and was it Friday, right? Was it Friday? And I moved out of ICU yesterday and may come home today. So I told her, well, if I had brain surgery, it might be outpatient surgery too. I don't know. But just kidding. That's not serious. So anyway, Wendell's brother had pancreatic cancer and a big growth on his pancreas, and we prayed Wednesday night for that, and it was just a major surgery, and so much had to be done, and they got it all, they think. Isn't that great? And they're just amazed by that. And I'm telling you, God's showing off this week. That's all I can say, is that he's just showing off. Wednesday night we had a special prayer as well for one of our members that was facing some accusations and in the legal system. And we had specific prayer, and we prayed for juries one at a time, and judges and lawyers and all involved, defendants and prosecutions and everybody that was present, that God's will be done. And I shared that it didn't seem like the judicial system was working well Wednesday night. It looked like things was one-sided, and it looked pretty bad. I was told by the lawyer Thursday morning after our time of prayer, I told the lawyer, I said, you know, we had a special time of prayer. We prayed for you. We prayed for everyone individually. Prayed for the family, prayed for the individual involved with the case as well. And we just had a great time. So she said, well, I'm glad you prayed, because for this to work out well, with no charges being filed, it's going to take a miracle. And I said, what did you say? she said, what? I said, did you say it's going to take a miracle? And I said, she said, yes. I said, well, good. We're preaching on miracles right now in the scriptures. So that's a good time to do that. So I tell you what, the Thursday evening, after lunch, the lawyer and the family got their miracle as everything was cleared and justice, I believe, was done in an appropriate way. It was an amazing thing. Now, it's a very tense time for those involved, and you can imagine what it'd be like, and who knows what the family was going through. But we were gathered in the hallway Thursday after discussing some things with the lawyer and whatnot, and I'll tell you something. Our study of miracles, which we're actually going to pause from today and continue that next week, but we saw last week with the healing of the nobleman's son. Remember I said he believed twice? He believed that God could do the miracle, but then he believed in Christ as a Savior. He looked beyond the miracle to the Savior. That's what miracles do. It causes us to look beyond the miracle to the Savior. The lawyer that I'm talking about, she's a Jewish practicing Jew. She attends a Methodist church, but she's a practicing Jew. So anyway, with her husband. Her husband's a Methodist. And she's telling me during the trial, and we're talking about religion, and I just feel like that, you know, God's going to work all this out. If I'm faithful to my Judaism, that God's going to bless it. My Jewishness, God's going to bless it, and all this other kind of stuff. Well, the day after the trial was all finished, the lawyer calls me and says, there must be something about that prayer to the God of yours. It's moving beyond the miracle, and it's moving people to the Savior. And that's what miracles do. It's a wonderful thing. And I witnessed that for myself, and Wendell and Jan witnessed it for themselves, and Billy witnessed it for themselves, and maybe you've seen it. How many of you witnessed miracles before? Do you believe that God is still in the miracle business? He is. But we got to make sure we look beyond the miracle and see Jesus there. But there's something even better than the miracle occurred to me in my life. And it really has changed my life drastically. They don't know it, but it's changed my life drastically. It's an amazing thing happened when we were gathered together outside the hallway, in a little crowded hallway there, and all this worry about, well, it just is not fair. You know, when things don't go fair, I get upset. You know, I get bothered. Somebody gets in my lane, and that's my lane. I'm going to drive in that lane. Get out of my lane. That's mine. I pay taxes on that lane. It's mine. Don't cross that yellow line. It's mine. It gets me when that happens. I'm just weird. I don't know. But I just thought this is just not fair. It's just not right. And there's so much at stake. And it's just not right. How can this be happening? Government is a God-ordained institution. It's supposed to be right. All worried about what's going to happen and the results of it and everything. And then something happened, and I just can't explain it. I can't explain it. I can only say that it's the third time in my life that I can say this has happened in my life. Standing out of the hallway before the jury came back out and before lunch and all this other stuff, I experienced like God's perfect peace just come all over me. Has that ever happened to you? I mean, a sense where you've been so worried and praying and so concerned about something that all of a sudden you just, for some reason, you weren't worried about a thing, that things was just going to happen right and that God was in control. Have you ever experienced that? We talk about it all the time, but when it happens, there's been three times I've been that sure of something of God. One is my need to be saved back in 1988. Number two was my calling into the ministry. I felt God's perfect peace in that. And then Thursday, it happened again, and it's a wonderful thing. And I thought to myself, I said, this is a great feeling, God. I enjoy this, and it's just, I mean, it was peace. It wasn't a feeling. It wasn't an emotion. It was peace. It's something that I can't conjure up. It's something that only God can give. But I didn't want to say anything in case I was wrong. I was talking to another family member about 30 minutes later, and you know what? One of the family members says, you know what? I just got a piece about this. I said, really? I do too. And about 30 minutes later, another family member said, you know what? I just got a piece about this thing. I said, I do too. That's three of us. That's it. I even said, God, if this is some kind of joke, it's not funny. You ever ask God that? It's true. It's a perfect peace, and it just brings back so much confidence to know that God is in control of every situation, and all we got to do is bow before Him in prayer and ask Him, God, bring us through whatever it is we're facing, and God can do it. I'm telling you, church, we've seen it happen multiple times just this week alone. It's a wonderful thing. Then I get here on Wednesday night. This is in the midst of it, and Robbie says, did you get my email? I said, no, I didn't get your email. But I went back and found it in my spam folder. He got spammed on me there. So, and there was an issue coming up now, and it's an issue that could handle the way God's working in the church right now. You know, it's a great time in the church. 116 people here today. People are getting saved. I was giving somebody a tour of the baptistry just this morning. People are being discipled. We're setting attendance records. God is in control. We can trust Him. And my response to a situation now is I could take the next miracle that was in line with John and I could twist it around and make an application that I want to make out of it, but it wouldn't be an application of scriptures. So my choice was to go to another text today and look at a different text and take just a few moments just to rally the troops together to help this church move to the next level it wants to, that needs to go. I've titled the message this morning, Don't Stop Now. God's up to so many wonderful things in this place right now, today, in Morrisville, in First Baptist Church of Morrisville, and in the lives of so many people in this church today. But we don't want to see the Spirit stop moving now. So we're going to make sure that it continues to have the freedom to do what it needs to do. But there's things that can have a stranglehold. Remember my throat last Sunday in the middle of the sermon? You got an intermission. That don't happen a lot. It was a stranglehold on my throat, and I couldn't say what I wanted to say. I couldn't communicate the way I wanted to communicate because something was hindering me. And we will make sure that there's nothing hindering the work that God wants to do in this place. So look in Matthew chapter 25, chapter 25, verse 14. Now, I'm not exactly, I left myself a lot of time for an introduction today, so don't fret when you see it's already 11:15 or anything like that. Just listen what the Spirit has to say to the churches here. So Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. Reads like this: For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And one gave 5 talents, and to another he gave 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. And when he then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 talents, 2 more also, gained 2 more also. But he who has received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid the Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So also he who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents, and look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. And the Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant, for you've been faithful over a few things, and I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. When he had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So, and I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, here it is. There is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back with my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away, and he cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day and your word. We ask you to add your blessings to the reading of it. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Think about what's happening in this text, and we're going to look at a couple other texts this morning as well, but just an introduction, a thought from this text, a concept from this text. 2 that were faithful with what God had entrusted them were allowed to enter into the joy of the Lord. How many of you want to be there? You want to enter into the joy of the Lord. That's where you want to be. That's where I want to be. I want to know that I'm right with God, that I'm being faithful with God, what God has entrusted me, and willing to trust in God all the way. But then there was this one, he didn't enter into the joy of the Lord. He was called a wicked and lazy servant. The Lord had given them something of great value to invest, and he wanted it invested. He said, at least put it in the bank so it can draw interest. But the one hid it in the ground because he was afraid. A talent. What is a talent? Well, you can play the flute. That's a talent, but that's not the kind of talent he's talking about here. A talent is a sum of money. It's about, I think, 6,000 denarii or something, if I believe right. I figured it out. A talent equals 2.3 years of wages for the average worker. So think about how much you make in a year and multiply it times 2.3, and that's what a talent would be in this scenario. And the Lord gave this one man 1 talent. He gave the other man 2 talents. He gave the other man 5 talents to invest into to his work. So it was a great value, but let's make it easy to understand and apply here in the next few minutes. Let's just call 1 talent. Let's say 1 talent represents, 100 people. And here we are, 100 people. The kids are gone, 116 on the board. At least 16 went out with those kids. There was a bunch of kids going out the door. So let's say here we are, 100. We're a talent of people, we'll say. Not a talented people, but we're a talent of people. We may be talented, but a talent of people. Well, we're something that God has invested his life in. He's invested his life into the church. Now, a lot of times when things are going well in the church, I'm a lot like this man with 1 talent. Are you like that sometimes? Maybe the deacons are like that as well sometimes. We think, you know, things are going well, and you start to get worried. I'm going to mess things up. I'm going to get in the way of what God's doing, so I'm going to be careful not to get in the way of what God's doing. I'm going to play it safe. And a lot of times I'm like this man with the one talent. I'm just going to bury it in the ground and hide it so that I don't mess it up, so that when God comes back, I'll say, well, at least we've got this here. Here's 100% of what you've given me. All the talents are here. The 100 people are here. But listen, God is in the business of multiplying talents. How many of you would like to see 100% return on your investments? You got money invested? What if you came back tomorrow and found out you had 100% return on it? It'd be a wonderful thing. Well, we got to change our focus as a church that's interested in just simply trying to protect ourselves and to preserve ourselves to something that is invested. God wants us to invest into His work. God wants us to invest into His kingdom. God invested in this church by sending His Son. The Bible says that He gave His Son, Jesus. He shed His blood for us to wash and cleanse and purify the church like nobody else could ever do, to purify it, to make it without spot or blemish. He loves the church. He invested His own Son in the church so that we could have church today, and He wants us to do His work here. Will you take your talent, get your shovel out, dig that talent up out of the hole, and give it to God? If we're going to do this, we must do it all together. We all must be willing to invest in what God is desiring to do in this place. All of us together. I know what you're thinking. You're talking about investing. You're talking about money. You're talking about tithing. I know that's what you're talking about. You're just disguising it in all your language up there. Well, turn back one book in the Bible from Matthew, and I'll take you into the Old Testament. And yes, it's Malachi. If you're familiar with Malachi, some people call him the Italian prophet Malachi, but his name is Malachi. Chapter 3, verse 8. I receive a blessing when I read this. Listen. Will a man rob God, yet you have robbed me? But you say, in what ways have we robbed you? In tithes and offering. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this. You see that? Now try me now in this, all right? And have you proved yourself over and over and over again? We talked about that last week. He says, now try me in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there'll be not enough room to receive it. Now that's an offering. That's the kind of blessing that God wants to give. With so much room, there's not enough to receive it. It's like the fish that were breaking the nets as they were drawing them after they had obeyed the words of Jesus. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And we need the devourer to be rebuked. We need Satan to be rebuked so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Well, wonderful promises from the Word of God, from the book of Malachi. And we say, well, we're living in the New Testament days now. That's Old Testament. We know there's a difference in the moral law and civil law and the ceremonial law. We've talked about that in times past. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Listen to what the Word of God says to us today. Moreover, brethren, chapter 8, verse 1 of 2 Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches and of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, beyond their ability, that they were willing, imploring us with much urgency that we should receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. They were, as they were able, even beyond what they were able, they were sacrificing together to support the ministry, and not only as we had hoped, but they at first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God, so that we should urge Titus as he begun, that he should also complete this grace in you as well. Right, you see what's happening here. We see a great thing occurring through these verses. Go ahead and read in verse 7. It says, "But you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us. See that you abound in this grace also." In other words, you've got some things good going for you. See that it continues. This is 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, there was a lot of problems Paul had to address. 2 Corinthians, they've worked out, and things are abounding in the church of Corinth now. And I said, abound in this grace as well. Verse 8, "I speak not commandment, but I'm testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, and that you through his poverty might become rich." Oh, there's so much could be said here. Look down in chapter 9, the sixth verse of chapter 9. "For this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may have abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever." Oh, I got to read this. Verse 10. "Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything with all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through the many thanksgiving to God, while through the proof of this ministry they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, for your liberal sharing with them and to all men, and by their prayers for you who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be in God for this indescribable gift. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. Investing in what the Lord desires for us. What he's saying here, the Old Testament ideas of tithes and offering was out of obligation. In the New Testament teaches we give out of the love in our heart towards God. You saw the video. As it ended, they were saying, "I love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." That's why we give unto God. We're investing because God has invested so much in us. And now with 3 minutes left in the sermon, I'll give you three ways we can apply this. Here's the 3 points. Maybe that's something getting to the last minute. So, 3 ways we can do this. 3 ways we can give to the Lord. 3 ways we can invest in kingdom work. And we all need to do this together. It doesn't work when 2 or 3 do it. It doesn't work when 20% do it. It has to be all of us together. And I'm asking you to consider this morning. The first application is a time given of a time investing, time to the degree of equal sacrifice. Investing your time to the degree of equal sacrifice. I know that some of you have more time than others, but are we giving to the Lord a sacrifice of our time, or are we giving out of our abundance of our time? In other words, do we give to the Lord when we don't have anything else to do, or will we take valuable time and set some time apart for the work of God? Do you have some time that you could take away from one thing? Sacrifice, that's what it means. Sacrifice, you're giving from one thing, you're giving up something so you can do something else. Do you have something you can give up for a sacrifice for the Lord in time? Oh, just look at our children's ministry as those kids were going out just a few minutes. Didn't that bless your heart? I was talking to somebody the other day about their Awana program, and they said something like this. They just get excited when they have 9 in Awanas. We're running about 60 in Awanas right now. Who would have ever thought such a program would go over so well? I'll tell you something. It's not the program. It's God. Because there's a lot of Awana ministry. Some of them are successful. Some of them are doesn't draw as many people. I'm not going to say they're not successful, because if they change one life, they are successful. But nonetheless, some of them, they seem to take off, and some of them, they don't. And fortunately, God has blessed us. It's God. It's one of those things that we can't do. We're just being faithful to try to teach the kids the Word of God. But you know, I don't want to work with Awana kids. I just can't work with kids. A lot of people are afraid the kid's going to know verses better than they do, and I tell you, they do, okay? We'll just take care of that from the very beginning. But even if you don't want to do that, You realize there's a need right now that if we had just a person or two that would sit with some of the workers' children in the nursery during the water time, it would free up more workers to work with that want to work with the Awana kids, but they can't because they got small children. I'm not talking about keeping an Awana nursery for all the kids of the Awanas and their little siblings. I'm talking about just for the workers of the Awana program that want to work, but they can't because we don't have a nursery for that time frame. If somebody would just sit in the nursery with them for that hour and a half, it would free up at least four more workers for Karen to put to work in the Awana program. And wouldn't that be an amazing thing? And I'll tell you something, those infants can't quote verses, so you don't have to worry about it. Henry Blackaby says, if you want to be a part of what God is doing, you look and see where God is working and you join him there. We don't have to look very far to see what God's doing in this church. We've seen it through the children's ministry. It's a big part of this church, and it's a big part of the future of this church. Those little kids going out here, that's a part of the future of this church, and it's going to transform this church into something that God desires for this church to be. But it means giving up some time to do that. Maybe you got time to come by the church sometime and do some filing. Maybe you got some time to come by the church and put some stuff on the computer sometimes. Maybe you got some time to come by and help clean out a closet. Have you got some time you can invest into the ministry? Another sacrifice, another way we can invest is by investing our talents to the degree of equal sacrifice. Our talents, our abilities, our natural gifts that we have, our spiritual gifts that God has given us. Usually when we talk about talents, first thing that comes to our mind is the music ministry. And that is a talent to be able to play an instrument, to play the piano and play the organ. I don't know how they do it. I wish I knew how somebody can read four lines of music at one time and play a piano. I just don't know how they do it. One line at a time is one thing, but they read four lines. And Mary Jo reads five because she plays with her feet, too. Now, that's impressive. Now, that's good. I bet she can chew chewing gum while you're doing it, too. It's talent. It's something that we can do for serving the Lord. And how many years have you been serving the Lord in the music ministry here, Mary Jo? Do you got any idea? A long time. You don't want to say, I know. Anyway. But that's just one way we can do it. Oh, the choir. Wouldn't it be great to have the choir loft just packed full of people who love the Lord, just singing praises, singing with a happy heart. Remember, the Lord loves a cheerful giver, and he said, make a joyful noise. So we can all do that. So I guarantee it. It might not be joyful to listen to, but you can all make a joyful noise. You can do it. I told the congregation as we gathered on Wednesday night, I said, I'd like to have a soloist every Wednesday night come sing a song for us to lead us in worship before we begin our Bible study and prayer time on Wednesday night. You're a soloist in the church? Let me know. Let's do that. You can invest your talent in that way. You say, Byron, I can't play. I can't even play a radio. What do we want to do? So, well, how about working on a computer? Do you know how this computer programs work? Do you know how to make files on a computer? Do you know how to work on the guts of a computer? Gracious, we have all kinds of problems with computers around here all the time. Oh, our church website got slow. I'm going to take just a minute to tell this. Our church website got slow a couple of weeks ago. And then there's a script that tells the computer what to do. And Roland helped me out with this one. Our main page has 200 and something lines of script that tells that page to do what it does when you go to our website, fbcmorseville.com. But for some reason, on our home page, on our website, there was 100 and something lines of script. And then there was a blank spot. And then the other 100 and something lines of script. No big deal, just a blank spot. Somehow or another, 2 million blank lines got in our website on the first page. So when you downloaded our website, it had to read a bunch of nothing to get it developed like it's supposed to do. I wouldn't have understood that, but maybe you do. Maybe your idea of a megabyte is a Big Mac. That's about all you know about computers. But you can write an encouraging letter. God's gifted you in that way. You've got compassion in your heart. You've got mercy in your heart. And you don't know about all this other stuff. And maybe you don't even know about kids. And maybe you don't know about computers or singing or anything like that. But God's gifted you with the ability to encourage someone with a pen in your hand and stationery in your lap. Maybe you can't write letters. If I wrote you a letter, you couldn't read it. But maybe you can build shelves in a storage room. maybe you're gifted with the ability to work with wood or metal or something as that. How has God gifted you? Your spiritual gifts, your talents, your natural abilities. That David Dracob has helped this church tremendously get our tax situation, get a hold of it, to figure out what needs to go where. Every time we hired an accountant in the past, they tell us something different. That's been the history of this church for the past 14 years. We've been told different things just about every year, and it's been confusing. And then finally, we got it nailed down. And David could probably charge the church big bucks for what he does. And I don't know, did he? I don't remember. Okay. I was hoping he didn't. It'd just destroy this illustration. But the bill's in the mail. That was it. Wait till after April 15th. But listen, he sacrifices his what? His talent, his ability for the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Talents to the degree of equal sacrifice. And finally, we can invest financially to the degree of equal sacrifice. You knew it was bound to come up sooner or later. I want to tell you something, though. The church doesn't waste money. The church invests money in what the Lord wants us to do. And a lot of our funds recently are trying to support all these Awana kids. We got a lot of Awana kids, don't we? But we've got a lot of things going on. We've got Vacation Bible School coming up and all this other stuff. And just to meet our regular budget to keep the lights on and the pastor fed, which I like both of them, by the way, it takes a little over $2,000 a week to do that. Without us going in the hole. Anything less than something, if there's not some reserve built up, something has to be cut. Now, for the next 4 weeks, I don't want to get in the habit of counting money during the service, but I asked Robbie, the chairman of the Budget Finance Committee, I said, for the next 4 weeks, let's just do something so you'll see where we're at. This board over here represents Sunday school offerings. This board over here represents worship offerings. And you see today, the offering, $519 over here, $1,341 taken up just as we passed the place a little while ago. That's $1,800 and some change there. That doesn't meet the budget. And if we're going to do what God wants us to do, that can strangle a ministry. And we need to pray, are we given an equal sacrificing equally financially to the degree of equal sacrifice to the ministries of this church? Well, when things run close, it's amazing what one slack week can do or two slack weeks can do. And I don't know why it is, but it seems the higher the attendance goes, the lower the offerings go. Next time we have a high attendance Sunday, I want you to notice that. You look at the board on next time we have a high attendance Sunday. We're hopefully going to have one coming up soon. And that attendance number will be great. But you watch the offering, it goes down. I don't know why. I think we think with so many people around, we just don't have to give like we used to give or we should give. Surely somebody else is going to give it. Like the lady in the video, I think my husband gave last week. I don't need to give this week. But listen. We need to be focused on what God wants us to do. Summer's coming. And times get tough in the summertime. I told him I'm going to leave this on the board for the next 4 weeks so we can keep track of what our income truly is financially here, just so that you're aware of it. I told Robbie, I said, I'm going to set a goal. I said, let's set a goal. Let's try to see if we can't collect $3,000 a week for the next 4 weeks. And that will get us in a good condition where we can hit summertime not worried about being strangled by money. Karen's ready to order the Vacation Bible School stuff. And all this stuff costs to do this. And I'll ask you this. What's better, $100 extra in your checking account or investing $100 in the salvation of a child that will last all of eternity? Do we hide our talent in the ground, our 100 people, or do we all agree that we need to invest in the Lord? I want you to consider making a commitment to the church today. And what you need is one of these little pink slips I've got up here. I thought about it when I copied on pink paper. I said, will you give the Lord the pink slip of your life? Is what I'm saying. And you need to have one of these. So if you open the Bible, the pew Bible that's in front of you, you'll find at least three stuck in that pew Bible. There they are already. If you're on the front row, they're on the side over there. But open them up, I guarantee you they're there because I put them there myself. I was going to put them all on the same page number, but I said, nope, it's midnight. I'm not going to do that. And sometime in the next week, maybe even today, we give an invitation in just a moment. I'll ask you to give God the pink slip of your life. The side that starts out, I will commit to giving faithfully and regularly to the work of the ministries of First Baptist Church. There's three choices there, three options. There's three things. It's not an either or. You can do all three, and I encourage you to do all three. But pray about these things. I will give of my time to the degree of equal sacrifice. I'll give my time just as good. I'll sacrifice just as much as anybody's sacrificing, whatever it means. I will give of my spiritual gifts, abilities, and talents to the degree of equal sacrifice. Just what I talked about. I will give financially to the degree of equal sacrifice. Is God impressing that upon your heart today? If it is, just put a little check mark beside those things and turn it over to the other side. And there's ways we can apply two of them. The money, I won't ask you to make a financial commitment dollar-wise today or anything like that. I feel that I'm gifted or have the ability and talent to do the following. Write down on there what you enjoy doing, what you're good at, what kind of talents you have. If it's music, put music or define how it is music. If it's building stuff, write down building stuff and put it down there. Be specific so we can know exactly what it is. Because what I'm going to do, I'm going to take these pink slips to our next deacons meeting, Peter, and we're going to look at them and say, we got this guy here that can do this. How can we use that? How can we let him use his gift and talent for the glory of God? That's what we're going to do with this. These can be available to the nominate committee when we get ready to start with a new church year. That's going to be just a few months away. We'll be activating the nominate committee. We'll be out doing their work, and they'll have this to go by. I'd like to offer my time in the following ways. Help you with the nursery during Awanas. Help with the summer programs such as VBS or High Power Soccer, our summer program we have here. Help by volunteering a few hours during the week or month for office help. Help by volunteering a few hours a week or month for yard and building improvements. Help by writing letters or even emails of encouragement or other. What is it that you want to give your time to the Lord for to serve him? If you got an idea, you say, man, I wish that church could do this. I don't know why this has been like that for a long time. Write down on there what you think you can do to help us do that, and it'll be there, and we can consider all that. And if you commit of yourself to offer, we'll make sure to provide for you a way to give. It's got a place for your name, phone, and email so we can get in contact with you there. I want you to pray about that. I want us all to invest together. And then if you made a commitment, a decision to fill it out today or next week or the next week, whatever, I encourage you to come and lay on the altar during the invitation time when it's given. Just lay your pink slip on the steps here, on the stage. But just remember this. Take some time to pray about it, because I want the Lord to convict your heart of this and not just be something that I've talked to you into. But remember, if Noah would have prayed too long, he would have been facing a flooding rain with only half of a boat. He would have missed the boat. There was a time that he went from praying to action. I'm calling you to action this morning. Will you respond to the love of Jesus? Let's go to our Lord in prayer.